Thank you for tuning in to the Salt and Light Ministry Program, a ministry for men, with men, and about men, using the sword of truth, God's Word, to give us victory each day.
Hey, welcome to another Sunday evening with Salt Light Radio Ministry. We're glad that you joined us. My name's Walter Sigg. I'm your host, along with Steve Kohler.
Hey, Walter, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and our other third leg of the stool is not here tonight.
He's not, so hopefully we won't falter too much.
Well, we got Derek back there keeping us straight. Derek's looking good back there having a nice, I know it wasn't a Big Mac. It was one of those more expensive $7 sandwiches.
No, it was cheap. It was from Wendy's.
Oh, you
but it's good.
Oh, you bought a cheapo tonight.
Oh, hey,
yeah, we're not supposed to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Advertising?
That's right. No advertising. It was good, though. That's a good place to get food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Fresh every day.
That's right.
But we want to thank you, our listening audience, for joining us tonight. We know that you can turn the dial any place and go anywhere, and hopefully you enjoy the teachings at Salt Light Ministry that we share with you. Right, Steve?
Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, you know, if they don't, it's okay because I enjoy it. But but I really hope they do. I hope they get something out of it.
And we, well, because it's God-driven.
Absolutely.
So, and we always want your participation, and we appreciate your generous prayers and support to our ministries, and we just want God to continually to bless you and your family and all that.
Oh, for sure.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about change, not
like,
pocket change.
Well, I was going to say, like, what happens when you go buy a fast food and then get some change back?
No,
like that.
No,
okay.
No. We're talking about change, change. You know, that's one of the political things now. Change.
Yeah.
But change requires what? And that's what we want you to call in. What does change require? Give us a call at.
Yeah, call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 or 216-901-0933. And don't wait to hear answers. Call in right away because we're going to give the answer relatively soon in our broadcast here. So if you want to participate, we'd love to hear from you, but call us.
And Steve, being how he likes to give things away, has got a gift he's going to give away this evening to the correct caller.
Yeah, to the correct caller.
Yeah.
There we go.
To the correct caller, not the first caller. Maybe you are the correct caller, but change requires what? Blank. We're looking for a specific word there. So.
Yeah, so call us. Again, those numbers are 888-677-9673. Or 216-901-0933.
Last week we discussed who is the rock of our salvation, right?
Yeah.
And who does the Bible and Scripture say our rock is?
Yeah, that was a great conversation.
That was the first half of our show. And the second half we discussed what?
We discussed revival. We kind of touched on it there at the end because we had such a great first half topic. We talked about revival and, you know, we talked about how where there are two ways for revival to happen.
What are those two ways?
Well, ultimately, the revival is done by through the movement of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But he works in two ways, and that was what we were trying to get at. He works either by one, which is by repentance, or two, by judgment.
Isn't that nice that we always have an option? God always gives us either do this
or
this is going to happen.
That's right. You have an option. You know.
And so we asked the question, is America set for revival? So if they missed that last week, you can go to our website, right?
Yeah, it's at www.saltandlight.org. That's salt, the letter N, light ministries, saltandlightministries.org. Click on the archives tab, and then you can kind of take a listen to any of the old past shows.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of archives there, and if you'd like to leave us a comment or a suggestion, go to that box and click on that. And leave us
we'd love to hear from you. You click on the guest book page, and then you can leave a note on the guest book page, and then we'll get it. We'll read it from there. Or you can go out to the blog site, click on the blog. We don't have a whole lot of blogs, but you know you can reply to any of them. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And we'll see it that way too.
And we might even announce them on the air, read them on the air. No, we will.
Only the good ones.
No. That's what the other people do.
That's true.
We're here for, you know, constructive everything.
We are.
So before we get started tonight, being so Ed's not here, Steve, would you lead us in opening us up in prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this great and awesome day that you've provided to us. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, being our salvation, being our rock. Lord, we don't always have perfect days. We don't always have the best of days, and we are so thankful that when you do actually provide them to us. But many days we struggle, and many days we have to work through various different struggles that you put into our hearts and to our places helps us to learn to rely on you. And so, Lord, as we start this radio program, not that this is a struggle, but as we should for always, we ask, Lord, that you come before us and that you move through us and that you help us, Walter and I here tonight, to speak the truth in love, and that you go before us and then prepare the hearts and minds of the listeners so that they can hear what truth you want them to know. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time together. And we just ask for your hand on it and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Steve.
Yep, you're welcome.
As we said, tonight our topic is going to be change. But change requires what? And we're looking for that word. So give us a call at 888-677-9673 or 216-901-0933. And Derek will take your calls. Before we get into tonight's subject, we have a little announcement here. Hi, as you know, I'm Walter Sigg with Salt and Light Radio, and we will be moving to a new day and time to share God's Word with you, our listening audience. So continue to listen to 1220 AM, the Word, for our Salt and Light Radio's new date and time. Also, you can go to our website at www.lightministries.org, where we will post the new day and time. Right now, there's some scheduling going on, and we don't have the exact day and time of where we're moving to. So please keep our ministry in your prayers.
Yep.
And again, listen to Salt Light Radio, or listen to 1220 AM, and find that announcement, or go to our website at saltandlightministries.org. So we just found out about that ourselves, so we're excited. God's always in control. He's always moving us.
He's always moving. You know, change. It's change, right?
That's right.
That's what we're talking about tonight.
What a coincidence.
That's right.
It's about change. And I think the Lord wants to broaden our listening audience, and so he moves us to a new date and a time. And
I hope so.
And, therefore, we'll pick up some more listening audience, and hopefully you that have been listening to us will follow us over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if you have any comments about Salt and Light, call the radio station, 1220 AM, Word, and let them know.
Let them know.
Yep. Tonight we'll be discussing change, but change requires blank. In case you are just tuning us in, Salt and Light, we are where we discuss God's Word. Look at the truth of God's Word through the Bible, of how we can apply God's teaching in our everyday lives. That's what we do here, right?
That is. That is.
And since the beginning of the year, God has had us kind of in and out of revelations, wanting us Christians and non-Christians to know what is coming so that we can know what God requires of us.
Yeah, and it's actually been quite exciting this first. I mean, I can't believe we're already, into September. But, yeah, since the beginning of January, we started in Revelation and had been coming in and out of that as we progressed throughout the year. But, yeah.
We started off with the seven churches, God's message to Jesus, Jesus' message to the angel. And
the angel then gave it to John, and John gave it to the church.
And that was a directive. That was a
exactly.
Yeah. So we are the church.
It's pretty neat to kind of see some of those things.
And then all the way through, and then each of these topics, just like change, revolves around repentance, which we talked about. So to sum the book of Revelation, Steve, is a book of doom and gloom.
Yeah, and, it certainly is, and it's sad that it is to those people. I actually read Revelation and don't see it as doom and gloom. I see it as an expectation, but, yeah, for some, it's doom and gloom, and that's unfortunate.
That's right. It's a, you see it as an extra. It's actually a book. The book of Revelation is more than doom and gloom. It's a book of hope.
Right. Exactly.
It's God calling us one last time as individuals and also as nations to repent and seek Him before judgment for mankind must be fulfilled.
That's true.
I mean, God says that He's going to fulfill His prophecy in Revelations, and God does what He says.
Exactly. I think if you were to ask me what is, you know, one of the most great characteristics of God that I like the most, naturally I would say His mercy, and naturally I would say His justice, and naturally I would say His love. But I think disregarding those sort of top three, I think one of the things I like the most is His long suffering. He gives us chance after chance after chance because He wants us to come to know Him. And Revelation, to your point, is sort of that last chance. And yet it's a book of hope. He still gives us that opportunity. And I think that's what's so amazing about that.
That's right. Because when you read the book of Revelations with that understanding, and God says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, this is what's right. going to happen. So you've got the positive and the negatives all the way through the book. And that's why it's a book of hope.
Right.
And even though people don't like to hear about that, you know, the atheists or the agnostics, but I heard a gentleman today, a preacher on TV, he said, you know, even the demons believe in God, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, they've seen Him. They know.
That's right.
Yeah.
So therefore, and the demons' place of resting is going to be, and they know God is where? Hell, right?
Yeah, hell. I mean, they believe in God. They just choose not to follow Him.
So there can't be any atheists in hell.
No. No. Yeah. Sadly, you'll come
to... that's what he said. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, you know, the Bible's clear in that. He says, there will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I hope and pray that you're one of those people that tend to be the ones that wants to do that willingly as opposed to not willingly.
That's right. Well, being so we stumped our listening audience, we need to continue on with our program change.
We didn't stump them. They just don't want to call in.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're shy today.
They're shy? Okay.
Yeah, we have a great audience.
So what does change require?
Change requires involvement.
Involvement. And what does involvement mean? Give us some adjectives or descriptions of that.
You could say that it means participation or, well, to get involved, to continue, to connect or to contribute.
So all of those things for change to happen, you know, we have to be involved. We have to connect.
Yeah. My favorite is participation. You have to participate. You have to get in and do something.
Well, that's right. If I want to get married, if I want to have a spouse.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen on its own. You kind of have to start, you know, building a relationship with someone.
That's right. That's called involvement, right?
Exactly.
We have to get involvement.
That's right.
So all of that. Since the beginning of creation, God has and is involved in mankind. Now, we're going to go all the way back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God had a plan already in place because God's sovereign, nothing ever takes Him by surprise.
Oh, it didn't
surprise
Him any. No,
that's
right.
Even though He writes it in the book, it's for us. Nothing takes God by surprise.
That's right.
So God had a plan already in place to get involved in the redemption, the salvation of bringing mankind back into a right relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Adam,
I think that, yeah, and I think that's amazing. I mean, He knows, He creates us and He goes, I know you're going to lose it here, but... that's okay. I got a plan for that too.
Yeah. Well, that's because He gave us a free will.
Yeah.
He gave us a choice, just like
exactly.
The angels had a free will, except there's no redemption for them.
No.
And that's one thing that we could talk about here in just a second is Eve's sin brought evil, the devil, Satan, into man's world to control it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Both Adam and Eve sinned. Yeah. You're right.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. Thus, evil entered into a perfect world that God called good.
Well, not only did He call it good, He called it very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
And to protect that goodness and to protect man so that we wouldn't be like the angels where there was no redemptive qualities, what did He do with Adam and Eve?
Well, he had to remove them from the garden where the tree of life was. He had to remove them from the tree of life because if they ate from the tree of life, they would be in their sinful state forever.
Yeah.
And so he was actually removing us from paradise so that we could have an opportunity.
So we could have paradise again.
Yeah, eventually. That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he had to move us from the tree of life. That's why he put the angel there with the flaming swords and all that.
Right. It was for our protection.
Because otherwise we'd have been like the angels and propagated, and everybody would have been sinful.
That's correct.
So God, again, you go back to his mercy and his grace, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything about God was called good, right?
That's right.
Right. So because God himself is good.
That's why he calls everything good, too.
Because he had created it. Right.
That's right.
Right. So God himself is good. He cannot tolerate evil.
Ah, well, that's understandable.
Again, it comes back to why he had to remove us so that we would have that relationship ability, right?
That's right. Well, what happened because of that?
Well, spiritual warfare entered the world because of this one sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin, right?
Mm.
And to your point, when you made the comment about how the devil, you know, now controls the world, that's where the spiritual warfare comes in.
But, you know, why is it that we don't believe it? That there's a spiritual war going on out there? Is it because we can't see it in the spirit world? But yet, it comes, we can see the side effects of it, or I don't know if that's a correct word, happening in our world.
And that's probably one of the toughest questions to really have a discussion with.
That's why I give it to you.
A lot of people. I mean, I think you're right. I think one of the reasons why we don't understand or believe in spiritual welfare as a people, if you will, as human beings, is because we don't see it. Now,
The next question would be why does God allow spiritual warfare to exist? That's a discussion.
Well, I think it comes back to, my opinion is it comes back to, he allows it to exist because, again, he allows us to continue to have choice. He allows us to decide which side, if you will, we want to fight for. And without that choice ability, we would be robots. And I think...
That's where I wanted to get to, is robots. See, God could have created us to be robots.
Oh, easy.
To just adore us, but he didn't want that.
No.
So he wants us to come willingly, lovingly, by choice.
Oh, sure.
To come to him.
Well, think about that. You, whether you have children or whether you're... have no children, but you're a child yourself, you know, with the relationship with your parents or your employer or whatever, you don't want someone liking you and praising you simply because they have to. You want them to like you and praise you and be in relationship with you because they've chosen to be in relationship with you.
Well,
it means more.
For the most part, unless you're a dictator.
Well,
you know,
yeah, but then you have issues.
Off with your head, you know?
Yeah, but then you have issues.
Well, that's true. But no, you're right. You're right. That's exactly right.
But to your point, Walter, unless you're a dictator, yeah, I agree with you. But what, in all honesty, what pleasure, other than being completely evil, what pleasure does the dictator get out of having a bunch of people that quote unquote love him and believe in him? I mean, let's be honest, they don't. The dictator's
they have no peace.
The dictator's deluding himself if he thinks all these people, you know, love him and believe him. And so our God is not delusional, and so therefore he doesn't you know, dictate to us. And as a subject, we obviously wouldn't be happy in that scenario either. So that's why we have free will. We have free choice.
And also why we have a God that's different.
Right.
And the other gods.
Exactly.
That the religions claim are out there.
You're right.
You know, that's why he's called the Lord God of heaven, because he's a loving God, merciful God. He's not a God that says, go kill the infidels. He's not a God that says, you must do all of these things. He's a God that just says, choose me, turn your life over to me, and I'll redeem you.
And I'll redeem you.
I know it sounds simple, doesn't it?
It always sounds simple, but again, that's that you have to get past that pride step, and that's the hardest part.
So, if we look around, and there is a spiritual warfare going on there, and before we begin, let us go back and look at a prominent individual said almost 50 years ago.
50 years ago,
and there's been a lot of talk about him lately. He's back on YouTube. But I'm sure you've heard of this gentleman. Well, maybe not. If you're Derek's age, you might not have heard of him.
That's true.
Paul Harvey? No, Derek's shaking his head.
Oh, man. Poor yeah. Derek.
Well, he's
missed
Paul
out.
Harvey? Give the people just a brief.
Oh, man. Paul Harvey's a great voice in radio. He was on, gosh, I don't even know all the various different things. I'm probably pretty too young to even do justice to him, but he was on the radio for many, 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 many years.
I think he started back in the 1980s in a small radio program. Actually, came in the
earlier than that.
As a janitor. Yeah. Oh yeah, back in the 60s.
In the 60s,
sorry.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweeping like Derek did till he moved up to his current position. But anyways, he went on to become won all kinds of awards, and
yeah,
he also won the Halsher Alger Award. What's the President's Award that they give out? The Citizen of the Year.
I don't know,
and so forth and so on.
Yeah, a great voice of radio.
But anyways, Paul Harvey. Now listen to this. This is almost 50 years ago, the legendary radio commentator Paul Harvey issued a dire warning to America about what will happen if people fall away from God, abandon moral principles, and believe Satan's many lies. His title of this article is Warning to America. And he's talking about Paul Harvey, he's just putting himself in there, If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey.
Mm.
And now they're kind of prophetic words, because he said this back in April 3rd, 1965.
Wow.
Now, let me just, for you audience that don't know who Paul Harvey is and what that generation was, Derek, I'm going to take you there. I graduated in 1964 from high school. I was 17 years old, okay? At that time, when you went out on a date, you asked if you could hold her hands. You opened the car door for them. If you took them home that night, you asked them if you might be able to give them a good night kiss, and usually it was on the cheek. A lot different than today's society.
A lot different.
And back then, we got in trouble in school for chewing gum and for running in the hallways.
Oh, my goodness.
And we didn't even know what cell phones were. We had old typewriters, that manual typewriters. And
yeah,
you had to put onion skin paper in there, and because they wanted triplets, you had to put duplicate paper in there. And then if you made a mistake...
Oh, it was all over.
You had to start all over with all of them. And then if you got a paperback all marked up in red and redo it, and no cut and pasting. I mean, you had to start from scratch, new paper, and you had to learn to type because you got marked off for spelling errors. You know, you meant Y-O-U. It wasn't just
you.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
Not today.
No texting then.
No
then,
texting.
Right? Yeah.
And by also, we only had three TV stations back then, ABC, NBC, and CBS. That was it. No cable.
That I remember.
And also, we had party lines back then that you shared when
you
picked up
too.
Your phone. And I went to make a call, and if somebody else was on there,
you had to wait.
Yeah, he said, would you please hang up? I'll let you know when I'm off the phone. So,
Can you imagine sharing a phone line nowadays?
No.
I mean, that's just a foreign
concept. I think like
concept.
I am. People are walking along and they're talking out loud and I'm listening to their conversation.
That's true. Who needs a party line, right?
Yeah,
you can
I'm
just
saying,
hear a conversation anyway.
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't want to listen to that. But to your point, back then, people used to go in the phone booth, if you ever watch the old Superman movies, and the door would close.
Yeah.
And if you walked up there, they would look at you and close the door. And if you just stood on the side, they'd say, what are you looking at? What are you... I'm talking on the phone. Get it. They didn't even want you to hear. Now people could care less what you're
That's
saying.
That's right. They could care
so,
less.
So just to give you a few little things, I'm sure other people in our audience could call in and say a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
But April 3rd, 19th, radio broadcast of an essay he had written, If I Were the Devil, Paul Harvey outlined what he thought the Prince of Darkness, that's Satan, would do in order to undermine and destroy the United States of America.
Mm.
Sadly, almost everything Paul Harvey warned us about has already come to pass.
That's interesting.
Now, that's prophetic.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
A confirmation that his prophetic warnings were truly inspired by God. I'm reading this right from the article. I'm not saying this. Tragically, the level of corruption and
Decadence
continues to reach new lows, ensnaring more and more people and institutions in this country.
Wow, how sad.
Things are getting worse with each passing day. Paul Harvey's essay begins with this ominous and eerie accurate prediction about Satan's deadly plan of attack. Listen up, Steve.
Paul wrote, "If I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I would set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first, and I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please."
Oh, that sounds like modern church.
Doesn't it, though? "To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way around. I'd confide that what's bad is good, and what's good is square."
Wow. Square, that means, in our terms, back then.
This was 65, right? Square, yeah, that was a bad thing, right? "And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington,
D.C.
D.C., yeah. Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills."
Now, you've got to realize back in 1965, most of this stuff wasn't even there. You had HIPAA laws about what you could or couldn't say on TV.
Yeah.
Using God's name had to be in prayer.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't use it
as a swear word. Right.
You know, narcotics was just something that you heard about. You didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and pills, the only pill we had was an aspirin, you know, and castor oil with a big spoon. So, but anyways, we're going to continue this on the other side of the break. Derek's got the music playing in the background. So we'll catch you on the other side of the break. Thank you. You're listening to Salt and Light Radio.
Do you homeschool your children, or are you considering homeschooling as an alternative to today's educational system? We homeschooled for a few years back in the day when our children were much younger, so if so, you need to know about homeschoolingbooks.com. Check out their link at our website, michaelmedved.com. Serving the homeschooling community for over 20 years, homeschoolingbooks.com specializes in Christian-based resources and educational materials to teach values and not just academics. Homeschoolingbooks.com has user-friendly, educationally sound teaching materials with a wide variety of resources for different approaches to homeschooling. Plus, homeschoolingbooks.com offers several pre-selected curriculum packages that easily can be customized to suit your specific needs. Best of all, you'll get practical advice from homeschoolers themselves who have already been there and done that. Visit homeschoolingbooks.com for a free catalog and more information, or simply click onto their link at michaelmedved.com.
Hey, it's Earl from Walmart. Jenny doesn't think she can get everything on her back-to-school list with just one stop, so I gave her a call.
Hello, this is Jenny.
Do you pack your kids' lunch?
Every day.
Did you know you can get everything for your back-to-school list at Walmart, including a week's worth of lunch foods?
You're kidding. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a real time and money saver.
I can pack you a lunch.
Awesome. See for yourself. Get everything you need for great school lunches like Progresso Soup, Jif Peanut Butter, and Smucker's Strawberry Jam. Plus all the pencils and backpacks on your list. All backed by Walmart's low price guarantee. Our stores will match the price of any local competitor's printed ad for an identical product. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
What can be done about schools having a national coming out day? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We had at Leavenworth High School a gay support day. I'm just calling to find out what our rights are, because none of us parents were notified about this ahead of time. We didn't know this was coming.
Yeah, this was part of a national program, by the way. They called National Coming Out Day, and it was in a lot. We got a lot of calls on this in our offices here. You had a lot of students caught completely off guard by it as well. Not only were the parents not notified, a lot of students did not know it was coming. Now, the issue is, in these kind of things that you're always looking for, is what notification or pre-notification went out for the parents. And the fact fact of the matter is, in this particular case, there was none. But again, these groups have the right to meet. What they don't have the right to do, though, is to catch you by surprise like this. And that was one of the things that was wrong with that particular case.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Salt and Light Radio. I'm your host, Walter Sigg, along with Steve Kohler tonight. Thank you for continuing to turn us in.
Yeah.
And we're reading through A Warning to America because we're talking about, tonight we're talking about change, and change requires involvement. And Paul Harvey, back in April 3rd, 1965, issued a warning to America. He said, "If I were the devil..." And we're going to continue on. We're halfway through. You can get this. We might even post it on our website.
But, I'll have to hunt it down, but yeah.
Yeah, or we could, or you can Google it. That's all. We got it.
Hearing straight from Paul is probably way more exciting than us.
Yeah. Anyways, Paul Harvey's essay continues with even more terrifying corrective prophecies. Paul Harvey says, "If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves." Hmm. "Churches at war with themselves, and nations at war if I were the nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed." We've lost some nations there, haven't we?
Yeah.
"And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have memorized media fanning the flames. And with if I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect but neglect to discipline emotions." "Just let those run wild."
Yeah.
"I'd tell teachers to let those students run wild. And before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door."
And how many schools do we have that at?
And do you know metal detectors weren't even a thought back then?
No.
No. Yeah, and schools weren't even locked.
Were they even in the airports at that time?
No. "And sniffing dogs were hunting dogs. That's all they were." Okay. "Within a decade," Paul Harvey says, "I'd have poisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon I would evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress." You know, talking about pornography, it was on the news the other day that pornography is such a big industry that it takes in more money than ABC, NBC, and CBS combined.
Wow.
That's how large the pornographic industry is.
That is just sad.
He also goes on and he says, "In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and defy science. I'd lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money." Boy, that's front page headlines right there.
Yep.
He goes on and says, "If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle."
isn't that the truth? I mean, that's what it is.
It is. Yeah. It's an egg and, you know, cheers. Yeah. "If I were the devil, I'd take those who have and give those who wanted it until I kill the incentive of the ambitious." That sounds like talk that's on the television news right now, TV, like, radio.
Sounds like spreading the wealth to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Take from those who have worked hard and give it to the have-nots and kill the incentive for them to do any work.
That's right.
"So what do you bet I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich? Welcome to the Ohio casino and club."
Yeah.
You want to continue on?
Yeah. He continues, "I would caution against extremes and hard work and patriotism and moral conduct."
Wow.
"I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun." We would call that today shacking up or hooking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hook up.
Yeah. In 65, it was called swinging. "That what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there are no cures. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey, good day."
That was good. But that's sad commentary, though, really. You know, when you look at where we at today, what are we doing? Matter of fact, you know, how are we doing?
50 years later, I think many of those things have come true.
You know, just in the news here, and matter of fact, last Sunday during when we were on there during the commercial break, they had on there where a young person in school was saying prayers, grace, praying over his food, and they come in and stopped him, told him he couldn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
Not in public school.
Well, I mean, he wasn't praying with anybody. He was just praying by himself.
No way.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in America.
But, you know, there's the double work, and where's his freedom? Where's his rights?
Well, yeah.
See, spiritual warfare. This is what we're talking about. People think it's got to be swords and all that, but that's spiritual warfare.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely,
you know, there's another one that I had mentioned to you on the way earlier today, and you said, oh, yeah, I know somebody that talked about that. It's called the Burning Man Festival?
The Burning Man Festival. Yeah.
What is that? Just like you told me, it's a...
I, you know, in all fairness, I'm not going to tell you all about the Burning Man Festival, but what it ultimately comes down to in a couple words is it is modern day hedonistic, paganistic gathering of unbelieving people in the desert of Nevada to basically do whatever they want as long as it, quote unquote, doesn't harm someone else.
No, that's correct.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I saw that and I Googled it because they just had it. And it's a Burning Man. It's held in the desert of Nevada.
Yep.
And they actually have a statue made out of straw and wood of a human being, a man.
Yeah.
And
some
just
effigy.
Like the pagans did. Yeah. They burn it and they worship it. And then they, you know, have orgies and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they can do whatever they want. It pleases them. Yeah. And that's evil.
Oh, certainly.
Okay. 60,000 people attended this year.
I'm sorry, did you say six people?
60,000.
60,000.
Last year they said 48,000.
Yeah, I heard it keeps growing.
It's a spiritual warfare. You know, that's kind of like back in the 60s. We were talking the 60s. It was like 1968 that when drugs and freedom came out, the love movement happened.
Yeah.
Everybody, they heard about Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco where you could go up there and party and drugs and sex and everybody loved each other. Kind of like an orgy, right?
The restraints were released.
And we, back here in the East, knew nothing about it until the news media got on and fanned it and then kept taking us over there by TV. And you saw these people, flower childs, walking around and they're all whatever. And pretty soon everybody wanted to do it. So there was a migration of people going out to the West Coast and then migrating back and bringing that lifestyle back. And so that's how things get started, you know. And, you know, the news media, the media has a responsibility because they fan these things, just like the movies that Paul Harvey was talking about or TV sitcoms. People believe this is true, and especially, you know, if you live over in a third world country, and you see this stuff coming in?
That's what you think America is.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, one other thing about that Burning Man Festival thing.
Yes.
I had heard on another Christian program, they did an hour-long thing about that Burning Man Festival. It was really quite interesting. The guest that they had on continued to mention not only do they do this burning of this effigy on one night, more importantly, they then burn on the following night, on the second night, or I think the final night, they burn what they call the temple, and they.
Oh yeah, I saw a picture of that too.
Yeah, they build this. elaborate temple, again out of wood and stuff, and every person there goes through and you know somehow puts in their troubles, their hurts, their quote unquote prayers, their desires, whatever their issue happens to be. And they put it into this temple and then they burn the temple and it, you know, it goes up, it gets relief. Tell me that's not a religion.
Well, no, it is a religion. It's
absolutely.
A saint. All you got to do is not that far. Just open any Old Testament page. And that's exactly what God told the Israelites or
not
the Jews
to do. That's right.
And that when they conquered a nation, you know, to get rid of all that, that don't bring their gods in. But what did they do? They brought their gods in, and they were burning their babies, right? I mean, we don't burn babies today, but we murder them the same way.
We certainly do.
In what people don't like to call, but you know, it's abortion.
It is.
That's murder.
That's murder. That's absolutely.
I'm sorry. That's what it is. This is Christian radio, and that's murder. But, you know, you say, what's happening now? We just read that about Paul Harvey, and you said, you know, that's not the kind of change I wanted. And I definitely tell you that's not the kind of change that God had in mind.
Mm-mm.
So what happened? We as Christians have been spectators. That's our problem. You know, Henry Blackaby says, you know, the condition of America is a direct result of the condition of Christians in America.
Yeah, that's a paraphrase, but yeah, that's pretty much what he's saying.
Yeah, if Eddie was here, he would have corrected
me. He'd correct us, yeah.
But really what he's saying is, you know, we're spectators. We're standing by watching all this change happen, and we're doing nothing about it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem. I mean, to your point, is this the change that we were hoping to get after all these years, right?
No.
To this point in our society. And to your point, and I've said this previously, I think the ones who can be pointed at fault as to why we are in the state that we are in is Christians who have done nothing.
That's what I'm saying. It's good. If we're a nation supposedly 70% Christian, you know, and Christian is a word that's taken out of context today, but still, if you claimed you're a Christian, a Christ follower, and want to do the right thing,
right.
By sitting by the sidelines, letting all this stuff happen, we're to blame.
Yeah. Yeah, without Christian involvement, the opposition, that is Satan, that is evil, that is the terrible desires of our own sinful nature, wins. I mean, 2 Timothy says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, why aren't we using it?
Because we're afraid. Yeah. So therefore, do we really have the Spirit of God?
It makes you question, doesn't it?
Yeah, and not only that, he says, look, not only did I give you the spirit of fear, I mean, I did not give you a spirit of fear, you know?
Right, I've given you power, love, and sound mind.
That's right. And he even goes on in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through...
Oh, yeah, 11 through 20, one of my favorite passages of the Bible.
Well, let's go ahead and read it just to reemphasize to our listening audience.
I'll start Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That verse right there alone implies there's going to be involvement by a Christian. You have to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand firm, not so that you can just stand by on the sidelines and watch what he does, but that you actually stand firm against him. You participate, right?
Well, back in the very beginning, we said sin entered the world, therefore Satan controls the world.
Right.
We allowed him in. That's why God was upset. We turned over. God put us in charge of everything.
Right.
But we give our birthright away to Satan.
We gave it away. That's right.
Through sin. So therefore, we are in spiritual warfare.
And then 12, I like 12, because then this is what you say about spiritual warfare, right? So 12 continues, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places."
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, so now, you know, as I always like to talk, you know, we learn in our Bible class, whenever you see a therefore, you should always stop and ask, what is it there for, right? Therefore.
It's for what follows.
That's it's for what it's follows terrible. From what just came, right?
That's right.
Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Again, come back to that standing firm.
You know, he didn't say pick up one piece. He said take up the whole.
The whole armor. Yeah, the armor. Full armor, exactly.
Okay.
"Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one."
And then it goes on to say, "And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God, which is what we're reading from right now.
That's right.
"Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit," that which is in us, right? The Spirit?
Yeah.
"Being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints," that's for all Christians, that's another word, saints,
yep,
"and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly He's talking about us, the saints, the Christian, that we may open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
See?
And that was, Paul was talking about that when he was in chains.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, even though I'm in chains, even though I'm in jail, I'm still speaking boldly.
Yeah,
for God.
I'm still speaking the truth. I'm still putting on the full armor of God. I'm still standing firm. And that's what he requires. That's what Christians, that's what Jesus requires of Christians to do. Stand firm. You know, don't only so far and no farther. You know, don't let the world continue to modify the standards so that we get to the point now that we are, that Paul Harvey talked about over 50 years ago, saying, well, we'll just make our churches inept. We'll make our families inept. We'll make our government inept. And we'll just do willy-nilly whatever it is that we want. And look where we are.
And, you know, Matthew even said, in those end times, and that's what we're talking about, right. Revelation, actually, I like to call it the Book of Hope. He even said, during those times, there are going to be false preachers, false teachers.
Right.
You know, the church, they're going to be ministers in there preaching to make money, to have a name for themselves. You know, they're not doing it for the right reasons. That's right. Why we're in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians also says, you have that in front of you?
I do. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack, and the left hand for defense.
So we're supposed to be attacking, going both ways.
Right, attacking and defending.
But what do we usually? Mostly on the defense, right? We don't go out and do any offense.
I'm not even sure we do that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Otherwise, why would all these things that we just read about,
right?
You know, the Bible getting kicked out, this
yep.
and that. Yeah.
Yep.
No. We need to take the offense. We need to get off of the sidelines.
We do.
You know, you can't participate in the game sitting on the sidelines.
You know,
the admission to get in is doing God's work. He give you the armor. You got the Holy Spirit. And what does it say about the Holy Spirit? He that is in you
is greater than he who is in the world.
And who's in the world?
Well, as we discussed, the Satan and our sinful nature.
That's right. We invited Satan in through the sinful nature, but God give us a spirit, not of fear.
That's right.
And he that's
power
in us.
And love and truth.
So why are we holding back? You know, we want to continue on here because we want to point out some other things here. If we look over history over the past 6,000 years, we see that all the nations were ruled by monarchs, kings, pharaohs, and dictators. And I get that from the book by William Federer, Change to Chains.
Change to
and
Chains.
We're talking about change. But God created America to be ruled by the people, thus the Declaration of Independence begins in these big, bold letters. You can pull it out for yourself. Big, bold letters about 10 times bigger than the rest. It says what?
We the people.
The founding fathers knew that through divine intervention that for a people to be successfully governed themselves, they would need guidelines. So they put up rules and laws to do so.
Yeah. One of those first foundation stones set in place was to honor and believe in a sovereign God, that is the Lord God Almighty. Not any God, but the Lord God Almighty. Next, we need to be governed by a moral compass. So the Ten Commandments of God was written into our laws and put into our public places and schools. And mind you, that doesn't mean the commandments themselves exactly were put in there.
No.
What it means is the principles of those commandments were put in there. And literally, if you were to actually study, you can see them in there. One of the cool things about, sorry to go on a tangent, but one of the cool things about my kids' curriculum that we do through our homeschool program is that we teach the Bible as literature. This curriculum teaches the Bible as literature.
Well, it is literature, too.
And I think whether you believe the way we believe in the Bible through faith, from a theological point of view, you can't understand the laws of this country without understanding the Bible, at least as a historical book.
Absolutely.
And how it was used, right?
Well, the other thing, too, if you go back and you were talking about the Ten Commandments, they summed it all up in what we used to do, and I'm sure you've heard about this. The golden rule, do unto others
right.
as you would have. That sums it up.
Right.
Would you want somebody to beat you up, to lie about you, to cheat, to steal your lunch, to kick? To,
right.
No. You'd want them to be nice.
Be
so,
nice.
So
you treat want them to be nice to you.
That's what it was. That's right. What the Ten Commandments was all summed up.
I mean, my point was, and I was just going to finish, and that was Bibles and prayer were taught in all of our public schools. The Bible was our first school book for many, 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 many years.
Yeah. And, you know, the third cornerstone that was put in was the family. It was given prominence yeah. as the third foundation stone. Yeah,
definitely.
So America, founded as a Christian nation by Christians, officially became a Christian nation according to America's recorded history.
Right.
Not what I said, not what you said. It's in the history books.
Right.
Maybe not the history book that you're getting in school, but all you have to do is
go real research.
Go to the Library of Congress. It's right there.
Yeah.
So where did I leave off?
Recorded history.
Okay.
So, you know, we were so proud to have a Christian, be a Christian nation, that we as Americans adopted the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Right, the Pledge of Allegiance to
the flag, right? To be said in every school and every public forum. And then we added God to that pledge because that's how proud we were.
Yeah. We, you know, we also wanted America and its government that in God we trust be put and inscribed on all of our currency because we love God so much, including the dollar, Steve,
yeah,
which goes around the world and to present day has become the world's currency yeah. of choice.
Talk about the influence on the world, right?
Right. I mean, every time you pick that dollar or that coin out, it says, in God we trust. It was there. They put it on so government, so that man wouldn't trust in government.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like Paul Harvey said, it wasn't the Washington, you know, yeah,
our father in Washington. Yeah.
No, it was to remind us that God is our current, God is our sovereign.
God is our, right.
That's who we trust in.
That's who
in.
We should put our trust in.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, for all of these things to have happened,
yep.
change had to
happen. That word, change.
Change, right? Mankind had to have gotten involved. To change America back to a Christian nation,
yes,
we need to get off of the sidelines and get into the game. That is, we need to get involved. You need yes. to go out. We live in
We need
a,
to be on offense.
Exactly. We need to do the attack and the defense.
That's right.
Spiritually, that is with our relationship with God, with our families, our governments, and in our communities.
And you know, when we go out there and we do that, we need to do it in a loving, kind way.
Absolutely.
And only speak the truth, God's word. And
Absolutely.
Show the people right in God's word.
Yep.
You know, let us close where we began. The Revelation is a book of hope. It is God calling us one last time. One last time. If you believe that time is getting short, turn on the news if you don't believe it. You know, Iran's ready to attack Israel. Israel says that they're going to attack before the election. Okay, just, you know, we're getting close.
Oh, it's one thing after another, natural disaster after natural disaster.
So it's God calling us as one time, as individuals, as nations, to repent and seek him before his judgment, which he has said. God is a God of his word, and yeah. he has judgment in there, and it will be fulfilled.
Yeah, well, it comes back to that revival.
But here's the nice part. Now, here's what I want to close. God gave us a symbol of hope on 9/11. You know, when all that dust cleared and settled, there in the midst of all that rubble, which used to be the World Trade Center, which is America's symbol of wealth, which has sadly become our God today,
yeah.
there in the ashes, rising 20 feet tall, is the cross, the symbol of God's salvation to all mankind, the symbol, the cross that God, offered his only son to die on the cross, shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, if we will repent and receive Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, our kinsman redeemer. Amen?
Amen. How awesome is that?
Yeah. Remember the cross? Rising 20 feet up in the ashes, formed by God himself. Till next week, or till the next time we see you, God bless Salt Light Ministries. Amen?
Amen.
If you're looking for a men's group or a local church, go to our website at saltandlightministries.org. That's SALTNLIGHT ministries.org. Once you're there, enter your zip code and a men's group or church will appear. Click on their name and you'll be directed to their site. We encourage your comments, feedback, and questions you may have. Let us know how we're doing and what topics you would like us to cover. We would like to ask you to pray for our ministry first and foremost. Then, if you feel this ministry is of value to you, please keep us on the air by supporting us with any amount. Make checks payable to Salt and Light Ministries, LLC. Then mail it to P.O. Box 1638 Elyria, Ohio 44036. That's P.O. Box 1638, Elyria, Ohio, 44036. If you're a business and would like to sponsor us and have your business recognized on the air, visit us at saltandlightministries.org for further details. May God richly bless you, and may the Holy Spirit work in your heart until we meet again. The preceding program is sponsored by Salt and Light Ministries, LLC.